Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
All right, Jenna Cameron and John Ritchie. Of course, it is 94 WIP, and it is the month of January, which means the NFL playoffs are about to start soon. And for the, I think, a seventh time in 8 years, the Eagles have made the postseason, which is really tremendous. Four in a row. Other than 2020, three in a row prior to that, 17, 18, 19. So it's been a lot of fun the last decade or so. And, of course, we always love the chance to chronicle it with one of the great Eagles players of all time. In here on a snowy Monday morning, Mr. Seth Joyner. Seth, happy New Year to you. How are you, pal?
Happy New Year, guys. Hey, James, do you listen to jazz, man?
Yes. Not, like, consistently, but I do like jazz, yes.
Okay, today is a jazz kind of day, man.
Ooh.
That helter-skelter right off the top, I know it's...
Too much.
I know it's Victory Monday, but today is definitely a jazz type of day.
How about this, Seth?
You, little blue you and
pick,
green.
You pick the song.
Yeah, what do you want me to come back with next break?
Just
give me a song.
No curses.
Well, yeah, jazz, man.
I'm joking. It's a joke. Come on.
You never know with you.
Listen, where'd you go? Texas El Paso?
Yeah,
the UTEP guy got that. The Temple guy had it correct.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which song you want next time, Seth?
Jeez. Hey, listen, man, I listen to smooth jazz. It's not like I know the songs. I just put it on a station and let it roll.
And it's just smooth. Right,
let's play some jazz coming back.
All right, well, Seltzer will figure it out.
Blue and green would be great. And it applies here.
You know
blue
that song?
Blue and green, yeah. Okay. I mean, just in time for the playoffs, we're in green.
See,
we're
man,
feeling
this,
blue.
Yeah, and this is the type of day, man, where, you know, you're just going to take it easy. You want to be sitting by a window somewhere where you can look at the snow.
Yeah,
something hot to sip on with your feet kicked up.
I can't wait, Seth. I got my Snow Joe all charged up, and I'll be going doing the neighbor's pavements. I'm super excited. You don't understand. I can't wait to get home.
Rhea, I don't want to be out in it. I just want to look at it.
Yeah.
It is nice. It is. All right, so, Seth, let's get to the playoffs here. We'll touch on yesterday's game, but how do you feel about, from an Eagles standpoint, the coming NFL postseason?
I think we should feel good. You know, even though I didn't agree with it, you know, now, you know, it is what it is and the team's rested.
Yep.
You know, there should be no excuse when they come out Sunday at 4:30. They should be free breathing, you know, fire like dragons, you know, fully rested 100%, you know, no excuses. And you're playing against a team that you already beaten once, a team that's a little beat up. And you're playing them on your home field. So I expect for them to come out and, you know, live up to the billing 100%.
Without knowing how bad the Jordan Love thing is, I mean, I think we assume Christian Watson's not playing, but without knowing how bad the Jordan Love thing is, so there's a little bit of just taking a guess here, I suppose, but would you rather the Eagles against Green Bay or Washington?
Well, the player in me says I don't care. I'm happy to be in the tournament. I'm happy to be the number two seed. You know, the short amount of time that Daniels played yesterday, he did not look very good. You know, Mariota came in and actually saved the game for them.
And that's saying something.
that's saying a lot.
Shocking.
Well, how good is Green Bay? Let's just say Jordan Love was actually truly healthy. How good are they?
Well, listen, he's got weapons all over the place. You know, most teams, they run the ball effectively against. I don't know that game one of the season, I don't know Josh.
Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs does not, you know, he looks more like a battering ram now than he probably did then. And you know Matt LaFleur likes to run the football. You know, now that would be a challenge to our defense. What would also be a challenge to our defense is the fact that they've got four wide receivers that none of them are classified as receiver one. And he spreads the ball around. So he makes it very difficult for you to hone in on one guy to stop. You know, defensively, I think defensively, that's been their the thorn in their side for many, many years. You know, it's no secret that they want to make sure they got a elite-level quarterback. They're going to have wide receivers, but they kind of skimp on the defensive side of the ball, and they've never really been, you know, a dominant defense. And I think that's hurt them. So, you know, obviously advantage, you know, Philadelphia Eagles in a massive way.
Who is the our defensive MVP of this year? If you had to choose between Jalen Carter, Cooper DeJean, who really half a year, two-thirds of a year, Zach Bond, who would you pick?
I think Zach Bond. You know, it's funny because I ran across a Joe Banner was on some podcast somewhere, and it caught my eye because they were talking about Zach Bond. And the person hosting it asked Joe of the importance of re-signing Zach Bond. And, you know, he said, oh, the numbers got to be right, but if not, you know, you move on, you can always find another.
You can?
Listen, John. Don't shoot Seth. The messenger. Don't shoot the messenger.
You guys know. I think there's a great chance he's not back. I've told you guys.
Listen,
that.
Let me tell you something. These people like Joe, and I respect what he's done as a GM.
Yep.
Okay. But this mentality that you know that the Eagles carries about their linebackers are so wrong. Like if you're back in my day and you're playing a 3-4 or a 4-3, you know, yeah, you can interchange those parts. But in today's NFL, you're playing a 4-2 front 75% of the time. That means you got four down linemen and two linebackers. Two linebackers maximum. Okay? And if you're in a heavy dime set, that means you only got one linebacker on the field. So in order for you to be very good against the run without weakening yourself on the back end by playing single high, your linebackers have to be hellraisers. They got to fill gaps. They got to beat people to the punch. They got to run through where there's opportunities to run through. And we've seen, you know, the negativity of trying to convert safeties to linebackers and special teams linebackers into starting linebackers because we didn't want to spend the draft capital. You know, they drafted N'Kobe Dean 3. But tell me the last time, I'll tell you the last time they drafted a linebacker high, Michael Kendricks.
Yeah, second round.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that has hurt the Eagles defense over a myriad of years because even in 17 when they were making their Super Bowl run, they sucked trying to stop the run.
Well, and but Bradham was good that year. That was his one really good year.
You know what? It all depends on, Joe, what you call good. My standards.
I just came in the crosshairs. I saw the look in his eyes, Seltzer. No. He gave me that look.
Because the standard, my standard for a linebacker is much greater than the average person's standard for a linebacker. Because if a linebacker has, you know, 100-plus tackles, the NFL wants to make a big deal about that. But understand, the linebackers, I think it was like in week 8, I saw a clip of Zach Bond. And it's nothing negative against him, but I chuckled. I think at that point in the season, you know, disregarding the tackles in the comparison of my career, he had 88 tackles. I think he had 2 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 2 recovered fumbles, 1 interception. And I chuckled because I was talking to my wife about it. And I laughed. She was like, what are you laughing about? I said, he did that in 8 games. I said, do you know I played 1 game and had all those same stats in one game?
In one?
The Houston game?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. House of Pain.
So my standard for linebacker play is much higher. You know, and I'm not saying that he didn't have a great year. He's had a great year. But the standard in the NFL of how they look
isn't
at it.
Isn't it?
My point is, the Eagles' defense has suffered many years because they don't have viable linebackers. When you look at the really good defenses in the National Football League, they got good linebackers.
Well,
point, Joe.
Yeah.
Last year, the Eagles spent $6.5 million on the entire linebacking position. That is absurd. The entire position.
Off ball, inside linebacker position. Like the.
Yeah, not the Hassan Reddick type.
Inside back.
The entire inside linebacking core.
Sure.
You probably got 5 to 6 of those guys in the linebacker room. They spent $6 million on the whole room.
Look, here's what I'll say. I'm more aligned with Banner than is going to make you happy. I'm not saying what they should do. I don't know yet. Of course I want Zach Bond back. I'm telling you, if he gets offered $50 million, he could be gone.
He should be.
Well, I don't. There's no history that the Eagles are going to give a linebacker like that 3 years and $50 million.
What have people been saying since week 10? Sign this guy. Get this guy locked up.
And they haven't.
Well, now that he's a Pro Bowl linebacker, the price has just gone up probably double.
What do you expect that he'll fetch on the open market?
Does that sound about right? 3 and 50?
Well, most teams, John. Most teams are not going to pay him Roquan Smith-type money out the gate because what Roquan did is he showed the NFL that he could do this again and again.
Sure.
Okay? Mm. So Zach Bond is probably going to have to sign a 3-year deal. I would be pushing for 2 like crazy because what I want to do is reestablish myself and show you that I can do it 2 more years so that now I can be one of the highest paid linebackers in the league. But they're going to sign him to a minimum, and no one's going to sign him to no less than a 3-year deal, okay? And it's not going to be off the rails, off the charts, because they want him to prove it again.
But I don't agree with that. I don't. If he finishes in the top 5 of defensive MVP, he's probably going to get $50 million. So buckle up or you lose him. I'm just telling you.
You know what I didn't know, Joe? Somebody sent me, you know, a clip a couple of weeks ago that I got 1 first place vote in the league MVP.
In 91. That's a shame.
And I came in.
Steve Young?
I think I came in like fourth or fifth. You know, so it's not that out of the realm of the possibility that he may get a vote.
Right.
You know, but the number's going to go up.
Is it a bad sign that he doesn't have the green dot? This is something that I wondered about. I just listening to Vic Fangio talk. He talked a lot about how N'Kobe's the guy wearing the green dot, not Zach Bond. Does that affect if he had the green dot, would it be better for negotiations for him with the Eagles? Does that matter?
No, because the game that N'Kobe was out, he had the green dot. And he tried to play coy during the week, trying not to give anything away. We may be in a lot more dime. Fool, you knew good and well that N'Kobe wasn't playing. That's why they put you in the green dot. When he went down in the game before, they put the green dot on you. But that doesn't affect it. You know, normally the Mike linebacker is the signal caller. And when you go to dime or you go to nickel and there's only one, you know, big nickel and there's only one linebacker on the field.
Mike's not in there.
Mike's not in, then, you know, the will becomes the signal caller. I mean, I did it. Mm-hmm. Like when Byron was on the field, he always called the defense. when he went out in dime situations, I made all the third down calls.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get some calls in here. Seth Joyner with us this entire hour on a snowy day here on a Monday morning. 215-592-9494. Let's get to Drew right now in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Morning, folks. Happy playoffs week. Time to lock in. One takeaway from yesterday, and then I'll just get to the Packers. You know, I know it was a Giants team that stinks, but I thought it was really good just to see Dallas Goedert looking healthy. You know, we talk about like Jalen being just like a force multiplier in the run game, but I think sometimes it can be easy to overlook like how good of a, you know, blocker Goedert is and, you know, what he adds to that. So I'm just, you know, I don't know what his future looks like in terms of like being an Eagle going forward, but, you know, I'm looking for him to have some big playoff moments here, and I just think having him healthy is really going to add to it.
Look, we all love Goedert. We do wonder if this is his last year for the financial reasons we were just talking about and Calcaterra coming on. It's going to be an interesting offseason to find out what happens with Goedert, but obviously when healthy, he's a very good tight end.
Yeah, hopefully don't have to think about it for a little bit, but yeah, I know I'm going to get nervous as the week goes on, but like we just look ready to me. And I know people are referencing what the Packers did against Dallas last year, but I think that Packers team was coming in like real hot to that game.
They were
on like a 3-game winning streak. Like they were playing with their hair on fire.
Well, they had been 3-6 and made the playoffs. They had to like fight. I think they went whatever it was, 6-1 to end the season.
Yeah, like this Packers team just doesn't look like they have like the firepower or like the vibes of that team. So I just like they're better than a typical 7 seed, but we just look ready to me, and I can't wait for the rest of the week and for
I tend to agree. Drew, give me an answer. What makes you feel nostalgic?
I got a good one here. The TV show Full House always takes me back to a simpler time.
It's a good one. You got to put it. Drew, appreciate the call. Seth, what did you make of Tanner McKee?
I wasn't surprised by his play. You know, you guys, you know, heard me say this many times. Even you go all the way back to, you know, the first game of the year when I questioned why Tanner McKee was number 3 behind
Kenny Pickett. Yep.
You know, so.
You think Tanner McKee is better than Brad Gable? That's a second. What are you answering all my jokes for? I was for the 45-year-olds and up, by the way, if you're too young for that.
That's a sensitive subject with me, man. Please do not joke with me about
that. Can't imagine why, Seth.
Well, did he Sherman a 23 straight carries in that game? That's my recollection, that Kotai just kept giving the ball to you. I think he had 37 carries in the game.
Yeah,
that's how afraid Kotite was of anyway, we don't have to get into all that. But give me your thoughts on how he played, because he did play well.
You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think he's the best pure passer of the football on their roster, period. You know, he plays with great timing, great rhythm, great accuracy, very decisive. You know, those are qualities that you very rarely find, you know, in a quarterback. And to be honest with you, when you watch him move, the couple of times they short rolled him yesterday, which was very impressive and makes me wonder why don't you run some of those things with our quarterback one. But you know what he looks like? He looks like Jared Goff throwing the ball to me, man. I mean, 6'6", can just, you know, sling it. I mean, he had a couple of spots where, you know,
misfires.
A couple of balls that he threw that, you know, that could have been intercepted. They were just bad decisions.
Yep.
But for his first NFL start, you kind of expect that. But I think for the most part, he's either going to fit in and last here as, you know, Jalen's backup. And I honestly believe that the Eagles need to go and find someone who possesses some of the skill sets that Jalen possesses so that when he gets hurt and develop him. Now, you're not going to find anybody like him. Like you had in Baltimore, you had Huntley was down there with Lamar for a long time. They need to go and find that guy, Joe, so that you don't have to reimagine the entire playbook for a guy or two guys that don't do what Jalen Hurts is capable of doing.
So if you view Tanner McKee more as a piece that you can use for trade purposes than a guy who's realistically going to be a backup for an extended period because his skill set is so vastly different than Jalen's?
Let me tell you what I think. I think that Jeffrey and Howie now know what they have in this kid, and they ain't letting him go anywhere. Because if the jury is ever out on Jalen for them, he is the type of quarterback that they truly desire.
I definitely would not trade Tanner McKee for a third-round pick. I guess I'd have to think about it if it's a second-rounder, but I would not trade him if I'm offered a third-round pick. No way.
Listen, if I'm Jeffrey and Howie, I'm not trading him, period. This is why. Do you know he threw the ball 41 times yesterday? 41 times.
He was 14 of 20 in the first half. I knew that.
Well, I thought some of that was likely they wanted to see what he had. Like if it's a game that doesn't count,
of course.
I mean, it's more important to see that than see Kenny Gainwell. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you could have said that about Shipley because he looked very good too. Give him the ball.
Yeah.
But if you go back to when they fired Doug. And Jeffrey was very vocal at that time. He said the way that you win in the National Football League is you have to have an elite-level quarterback, a passer of the football, and you got to make big plays. They believe at their core that the way that you win is you throw the ball often and early, you get a lead, and then you run the clock out. I don't think that they envisioned Saquon doing what he did in 2024, and it flipped the entire narrative on his head. Because I ask people all the time that don't like Jalen, would you rather have a quarterback who throws for 350 yards and two touchdowns every week and be 9-8, or would you have the scenario be what it is and be sitting at 14-3? You tell me what you would rather.
Well,
have.
Yeah, but there's a trap door there.
No, it's no trap
door. Sure, there is. You're assuming the guy with all those yards and touchdowns loses. That guy might win.
Listen,
I'm not looking to get into the whole Jalen thing here, but I mean, I'm not going to act like.
But it is what it is right now.
Like if they had Jared Goff right now, they wouldn't be 9-8.
If Grandma had cojones, she'd be Grandpa.
But what
right?
would their record be with Jared Goff?
Nobody knows.
Well, okay. Well, why does the guy that gets in there have to go 9-8?
Because my point is,
my point is with Saquon, AJ, and Devontae, you got a lot of talent out there.
I just don't understand why Grandma got into this.
You know what? I saw that look from Seth for a second time. I'm really in trouble now.
But my point is, we know what the Eagles are at 14-3.
Right.
We don't know what the team would be if he threw for 300 yards. Because you still got to make those other touchdowns, and if you're throwing the ball at that clip, then you've got to keep pace with other teams that's able to put the ball in. When you run the ball the way that they run it, you know. And I want to talk about this as far as Detroit because I'm looking at Detroit last night and it hit me. I had an epiphany about who and what Detroit is and what's necessary to beat them. Now you got to match them. And you want to dominate the game rather than trying to matching somebody else's flow.
Dominate the game meaning you aggress against the most aggressive team that I think I've ever seen. I really think they're the most aggressive team I've ever watched. We're talking like crazy offensively speaking.
I seen Joe over there, you know, breaking his pencil. So I don't even want to get into it yet. But John. This guy asked me a question about, he said that Detroit is...
Whether you want to,
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market, or
sell, sell, sell,
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Better than we give him credit for. And in the moment of responding, I wrote something so profound that I had to take a screenshot of.
Wow.
And I'm going to read it.
All right, we're
going
to get to that next. All right, so that next.
So this is a border. This is borderline old school jazz, contemporary jazz. The contemporary jazz is just a little bit more upbeat.
Good.
But this works.
Okay, a little more upbeat would be.
That probably would have been the way to go.
I got my tea, and if Joe and Hugh wasn't coming in, I wouldn't leave John, James, if you put like 15, 20 more of these tracks on. I kick my heels up and just chill because this view right here, looking at Market Street and the snow, I'm good. And I'm okay with looking at it just for today. But it better be the hell out of here by tomorrow.
All right, Seth Joyner with us. The playoffs obviously come up. They start on Saturday. Now, the Eagles play on Sunday. So Saturday's games, Chargers and Texans, Steelers, Ravens. Those are Saturday's games. Sunday, Broncos, Bills. So it's really, I don't remember this. Maybe it's happened before.
Three straight AFC, three straight NFC.
Three AFC, yeah, to start. Odd. Then Eagles, Packers, 4:30 at the Link. Commanders, Bucks, 8 o'clock. Vikings, Rams on Monday
night. Well, I think it has to do with the Monday night thing, is my guess.
In what sense?
In that they don't know who the winner of that game is going to have to play, the 4-5 game, because it could be either the 2 or the 1. So they want to make sure that the 2 seed is playing on Sunday, or that I get that the teams are playing on Sunday, so it's a little more fair for the... I guess they wouldn't have to have both. They just have to have the Eagles play because the Lions are off.
All right, do us all a favor. Mm-hmm. Whatever point you're trying to make, just stop making
it. Well, I'm saying that the Monday night game, the two seed, you know what I mean, though.
No, I don't, actually.
The point
actually
is the Eagles, because the Eagles could play the 4-5 team, they had to play on Sunday. They weren't going to give the Eagles 2 days extra rest.
I still have no idea.
That makes sense.
That part I get.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying
to say.
They're
not going to get 2 extra days
that's
rest.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
Joe, you feel like me yesterday. I'm watching the games. We do the red zone with a friend of mine for the Washington game and the Green Bay game.
Yep.
And I kept going, this, and finally goes, what do we need to happen? I go, I have no idea. I just literally, because I was going back and forth, and he's like, you were acting like you knew the whole time.
Well,
like,
it was strange. Both games hung in the balance.
Yeah.
I mean, very odd that Washington couldn't get rid of Dallas easier. I mean, that was strange. All right, let's go to the phones.
Oh, they pulled their quarterback.
Yeah, but why? I was offended.
And they were losing when they did pull him. It was like 6-3
or
whatever.
That was weird. All right, I want to get to this Kenny Pickett and Tanner McKee poll. We'll hit that shortly. Chuck in Mount Airy right now. We got Seth Joyner with us. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. Happy snow day, gents. How you doing?
Doing great, Chuck.
Happening, Chuck.
Hey, listen. Hey, what's up, Seth? How you doing today, buddy? Hey, listen, I was calling today. That game yesterday, when I was watching that game yesterday, you know what it did? It guaranteed me that the Fluffy Eagles are going to the Super Bowl. Because those two teams, there's no way in the
guaranteed,
world. Quarterbacks. Yeah, those quarterbacks are horrible. And luckily, you know, Detroit leaned on their running game and their offensive line, and they got that going, and they pulled away. But those two quarterbacks, and the lights are on the brightest. There's no way Sam Darnold and Jared Goff will beat the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't care where they play. They could play in Detroit. They could play here. They could play in the backyard somewhere. They cannot beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Those two quarterbacks are
those quarterbacks are dealing with a lot in that game. They're dealing with people – a lot of unique looks, people coming from all over the place. That was some heavy scheme in their face.
Chuck, I get your point. I think you take it too far. I agree that they're not – look, it's not like Steve Young and Troy Aikman. You know, this isn't – I mean, going different eras. You know, you pick, like, two great quarterbacks. But they've had good seasons, man. Great seasons.
Yeah, that's a regular season. I'm talking about when the lights on the bright.
No, I know what you mean. I get it.
Those two quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, was, you know, he was overthrowing all game long. Like I said, Jared Goff wanted out of that game the minute he was getting hit. And like I said, luckily Ben Johnson is a great offensive mind. He was able to lean on his running game to pull away. But those teams are horrible, man. I mean, not the teams, but the quarterbacks are horrible, man. There's no way they're beating the Buffalo Eagles. You know,
well, I think they're both better than you think. I'm just going to tell you. I think they're better than you think. But look, Chuck, hit us up tomorrow, my man. We got a lot to get to. Love hearing from you. Let's get to three different Twitter poll questions of the day, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What is the Armin difference? It's simple. It's their people, well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. All right, first poll question. This one lost some luster just because I think of the Green Bay injuries. But we were curious who you'd rather have seen the Eagles play. We know it's going to be Green Bay, but Green Bay or Washington. John, how do you think this one came out?
Who would you prefer to play?
Yeah.
This is tough. It's going to be close to 50-50. 55% say Washington.
The injuries tilt it. So people want to play Green Bay because they got injuries. So 68% say Green Bay. Let's get to the two polls to me I was most interested in. All right, the first, who should be the Eagles' number two quarterback in the playoffs? Now, James, you say which one?
I think Kenny Pickett should be the number two.
And Rhea, you go with McKay?
Yeah.
And John, you're which one?
Kenny Pickett.
All right, I am Kenny Pickett, but believe me, I don't feel good about that. And I'm honest to God saying Pickett, knowing that I might bench him if I'm in a tough spot. I just want to go to McKee, but I don't want to rock the boat until that point. It's like the third quarter of a playoff game. Like, I'll choose to do it then if I need to. But I would keep Pickett as the two for now. But I'm very tempted because I think McKee is better. Seth, who do you think? Who do you personally think Sirianni should designate as the number two?
He should designate Kenny Pickett, but he won't because of the experience factor. To me, is the overriding
Wait, you might have said it backwards. And you said he should designate Pickett.
No,
you mean
he should designate McKee?
Yeah, you said it backwards. Gotcha.
I'm sorry about that, but he will designate Kenny Pickett if Kenny Pickett is ready to go.
Gotcha.
You know, I also think that if you employ the type of run game that you have with Jalen Hurts all year and you get Kenny Pickett in a situation where he only needs to throw the ball about 25 times, that's doable.
Which is what they did in that game until he got hurt. I mean, they were running the ball a ton with Saquon 2 weeks ago versus Dallas. All right, John, I have the results here. So the first question was, who should be the number two? How do you think people voted?
Well, with the recency bias, everyone loves Tanner McKee, so I'm going to say Tanner McKee wins that.
He does. 65% Tanner McKee. Wow. Now, James, you said this was ridiculous to even have as a question.
So yeah, I think it's ridiculous. Yeah. I think Kenny Pickett is clearly the backup for this team.
But what if McKee's better?
I don't think he is. He might be.
A lot of people are telling
started
you.
One
I get
game.
It. He hasn't played against any real competition
game.
In any
it was
meaningful game. In a game that didn't matter. Everyone knew there were no stakes to this game going in.
I know, but he also looked good the prior
the
week.
The Giants
very
were
limited,
3
actually.
Hours away from the end of the season.
I understand it. I get it. So was Dallas, and he did good against them.
So did Kenny. Kenny was good against Dallas.
I understand. All right, so 65 say go with McKee. Second poll question, who will Sirianni choose? John, how do you think that vote came in?
80% Kenny Pickett.
52% Kenny Pickett.
Jeez.
I think that's still 52. They're still thinking about the first question.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, look, I that follows suit with what I expected. More people would say McKee should be it. More people barely would say Pickett will be it. We'll see. Give me that epiphany you had there,
you
Seth.
You know, before that, we were talking about the two quarterbacks and how they played last night. I tweeted out about Sam Darnold very early in the game. I said, you know, just thinking out loud, Sam Darnold has had a hell of a year, you know, outstanding. But could this stage and this moment be a bit too big for a quarterback who's his first time in the playoffs? And make no mistake about it, that game last night was a playoff game for both of those teams. Mm-hmm. Jared Goff, they brought a lot of pressure to him yesterday, because I think every team in the National Football League knows that that's his Achilles heel. But if you can't balance out everything else out, you know, he can hurt you because he knows where everybody is. And when you're dropping coverage on people, like, I can't tell you how many times Jahmyr Gibbs is wide open in the flat. If you're blitzing, blitz means that everybody is responsible for somebody. You got 5 guys that can come out in the route. Who the heck was on Jahmyr Gibbs? You know?
He's hot.
Even if he's hot,
it's
John.
Brian Flores. They're sending guys with like blatant disregard for defense.
I've been in that situation before. If I'm blitzing, but I'm blitzing, you know, I got blitz coverage, which means that I'm gonna blitz the guy.
You want to blitz Jahmyr Gibbs to keep him in.
And if he stays in,
yeah,
okay, then I can continue on to the quarterback knowing that he has to pick me up.
Yeah.
But when they slide the line his way and he check releases, you can't act like, oh, he tried to block me and go out, because they have somebody else there to block you.
Uh-huh.
That's your guy.
Uh-huh.
Do your freaking job.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you put Jared Goff in those situations, that's what's going to happen. Okay, as far as the Minnesota, as far as the Detroit Lions is concerned, so, Joe, this guy, he tweets at me, and he says, when I said, listen, Minnesota's done. Detroit has, you know, physically worn this team down. They're gassed. This is probably like middle of the third quarter. So he goes, we got to admit Detroit is even better than, you know, we tend to give them credit for. And I fire back with, I said, maybe. I said, they're beatable. It's not like they're not unbeatable, but they're built to out-physical their opponent. And they challenge you in every way. They morph and they adjust in-game. And if you can't morph and adjust with them, they just grind you down. I mean, they physically have been built this way. If you go back to Dan Campbell, and, you know, when I became a fan of Dan Campbell, it happened in training camp. Because when he was hired, I'm like, this whole biting off kneecaps and whatnot is a bunch of bullcrap, you know? And then I saw him address his team probably 2.5, maybe 3 years ago, where he said, you know, they had it, it was doing training camp. They had a video. And they're like, he's like almost in tears.
About hitting the guys.
I saw this too. Yeah. This is when they were featured.
It was great.
I watched that Hard Knocks, and I agree with you. I said, that team's going to be great because of that coach.
He was saying, basically, trust me, I know we have to go to work, and I know you guys don't want to hit, but trust me, this is what we need.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, it was great.
And he says, in order for us to be where we want to be, this is what we have to do. Yep. And he said, I need you to trust me because I will take care of you. I will take care of your body. What he's essentially saying is, we're going to hit sometimes, but there are going to be times where I'm going to pull it back and I'm going to take care of you. Okay, I'm not going to overguard you. I'm not going to be overly conservative with you, because in order for us to be who we want to be, we have to practice this way.
I love that. I did
too. And they are great. They are a great tackling team. They don't miss tackles. They're extremely physical.
Are they a tougher team than the Eagles?
Well,
that's my worry. So, the way that they're built with their head coach, by their head coach, I think they're better prepared from a mental toughness perspective for winning in the postseason.
So one thing is, they're playing chess, because most teams play checkers. Because that brand of football, we don't see that anymore. Most teams now are finesse teams.
Oh, it's old school.
Okay, so now let's fast forward to the Eagles. Everyone questioned the physicality of the Eagles, and rightfully so. Nick Sirianni had them ready when they got on that bus and they went down to Baltimore. Is there a more physical team in the National Football League than the Baltimore Ravens? So they've shown that they can. So they've shown that they can. That they can.
I totally agree.
So I like their position, because that's what it's going to be. It's going to be physicality on physicality. And it's going to be matching wits from a coaching standpoint, because if they can run, if you watch Detroit, they go through these phases in the game. They throw the ball, and then they grind you with the run. And then they throw the ball, and they grind you with the run. And it's the same thing on defense. They'll play zone 25% of the time, but most of the time they're in your face, you know, trying to get in your jock and just pretty much challenging you to beat them with one-on-one routes. And you have got to make, you've got to morph
with them. You got to make the plays. You got to make the throws. You got to make the catches. Yeah.
You have to morph, and you have to change with them, and you have to out-physical them, and you have to meet the challenge.
Uh-huh.
If you do not, this team, the way that this team is being built, if the Eagles can't do that in the NFC Championship, they're not going
to
win.
All right, listen, let's get to what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours. All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with time's yours.
I am a little concerned. I know if Jalen doesn't play and we have Pickett in there, or our third string, I forget his name, we will need to pass the ball successfully in order to beat the Packers or the Redskins. Running the ball with Saquon is not enough.
I don't know that to be true.
That. I just learned that Jordan Love got injured.
So that's the same guy calling back to amend his statement. Yeah, and even if Jordan Love hadn't gotten injured, look, at some point to win all four games, they're going to probably need to lean on Jalen to a decent degree with the passing game. But they may be able to stick to the formula. It's been very successful this year.
Problem, as we've been talking about, is Jalen Hurts. We win or die with this guy, because when he's hot, he's hot. We can win the Super Bowl. But let me tell you, he's out. And when he's out, he's rusty. It may take him 2-3 games, and we don't have 2 or 3 games to recoup here. It's one and done. So this is very scary leading up to this Green Bay game with Jalen Hurts.
Go ahead and be scared.
We'll say.
What's the total number on the amount of times Joe DeCamera says, Carson Wentz stinks?
Carson stinks!
Time's yours.
Well, I only said it one time, but then it got replayed 1,000 times.
By you.
Jalen Hurts better step it up, or the team better find another home, because Tanner McKee, I'm telling you right now, not because of his game, but I know Rector doesn't play, but I called and praised Tanner McKee before he's even played an NFL game. This kid won't be here long. He's not going to stay a backup.
Well, the good news is they got him on a contract for 2 more years.
Yeah,
so
I knew that was coming.
They control him.
Yeah.
They control him for now. All right, with that said, let's wrap it up. Time's yours. Close it.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
Right. We got to come up with a winning answer for what makes you feel nostalgic. Now, we got a lot of answers from sports, and they were very similar. One person called and just said Harry Callis announcing games. Someone else called and said Harry Callis announcing Mike Schmidt's 500th. Someone else called and said Harry Callis announcing the final out of the 2008 World Series. Then we got Demeryl Reese called announcing the end of the Super Bowl. Then we had two answers totally outside of sports, Nintendo and Full House. What are we doing here? I mean, what's... And then we got the guy that says keep scoring a baseball game. But I don't know how much that makes most people feel nostalgic. That just means you're old.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point.
And it does seem like you're just trying to buck the progress to some degree. Like when you're going old school,
yeah,
like that.
I like the Nintendo answer. I think that's good.
For what makes you feel nostalgic, it's pretty good.
I don't know. I mean, Nintendo is awesome.
The problem is
we got
Harry Callis versus Merrill Reese. I mean, what do we do here, Seth?
To me, I would have gone with the first Harry Callis guys because it just kind of seemed like everybody else was hopping on board.
I'm fine with that,
because I feel totally... You know, whenever I hear Harry Callis, I grew up with him.
The first Harry Callis guy. Congratulations That's to nice. Dan with that answer. Seth, they going to beat the Packers?
Oh, for sure. They better beat the Packers.
They better.
You decided that, you know, you're going to rest your starters.
Yeah.
You decided that the record wasn't important enough. And this is the thing that pisses me off about people with this whole record. Oh, the record isn't important. Isn't important to who? You? You didn't get your body beat to hell all season long to get in a position for this. If it's important to him, and it was clearly important to him when you looked at his face and how he addressed the media last week, okay? If you're going to do all of this, you know, for the Super Bowl, you better win the first damn round of the wild card game.
You better win.
Seth, we'll see you next week, man.
You got it.
Have a great week.